Well, the first reading is from Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to be reading verses 1 to 12, and that's page 77 in the Church Bibles, and the second reading will be in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, which will be page 1177. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And then, so in the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, page 1177. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
It's great to have you here this evening. A special welcome to you if you're visiting with friends or family, or if you're looking into the Christian faith. We're especially pleased to be able to welcome you, and we hope that what you hear tonight will help you understand a little bit more about what we believe as Christians. As Steve has already said, the Ten Commandments are not God's rules or regulations to try and put us in the right with Him. Instead, they're God's blueprint or God's design to transform a people he has already saved for a relationship with himself. No doubt you've got your plans. Maybe you're working out your plans even in your head while this sermon is going on for the rest of the evening or for the weeks ahead if you're a student that's finished your exams. You've got plans, you've got ideas and ambitions for the rest of your life. Well, what we need to hear this evening is that God has a plan for our lives. God has an ambition more than that. He has a purpose which he will fulfill in us if we are his children here this evening. And his purpose is to make us into his likeness, to transform us day by day so that we become a little bit more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Ten Commandments are God's blueprint, his design for our lives, that we might know how to live as his saved, redeemed, rescued people. We've seen already that God has made us to love him, and we're starting this evening to see that he's made us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And only the entrance of sin into our world means that our world today does not look like a place where we love God with all that we are and love our neighbor as ourselves. That was always God's design. That's what the new creation, that's what heaven itself will be like. And it's only sin in the world that has so spoilt our relationship with God and our relationship with one another that Jesus has started to put right through his death and resurrection as we now start to live for him. So let's look at these Ten Commandments. Let's remember that Jesus lived them for us, and now by his Spirit he's beginning to live them in us. The life that we live now is for him, God's good design. Let's pray, shall we, as we start to look at this particular command then tonight. Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Heavenly Father, help us to see this evening that your word is right and good, that your plans and your purposes for our lives now and for the world to come are good. May we know that we are blessed to sit under your word to learn to obey you this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn back to Exodus chapter 20 if you've closed your Bible? That's on page 77 and 78. The Ten Commandments are in a particular order. They're not placed randomly. They're placed in a particular order. Jesus said that the greatest commandment is that commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And if you want to know how to love God that way, well, the first four of the Ten Commandments tell us. We heard, didn't we, in week one, that we're not to love other gods. That's the first commandment. Secondly, that we're to love the right God in the right way. Not to form him in our image, but allow him to form us in his. Thirdly, we learnt we're not to misuse the name of the Lord our God, but to honour his name and rejoice and celebrate everything that he is. And then fourthly, we saw that we're to honour God by making him and time with his people our weekly priority. Those first four commandments really at the heart of all that it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And now from tonight through to the end of our series, we pick up what Jesus called the second commandment, which is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we see that the love for God has to come first. There is a right order to these Ten Commandments. There is a reason why the first four are about loving God before we can begin to look at the next six about what it might begin to mean to love our neighbour. We can't love our neighbour truly, properly, until we first learn to love God who has made our neighbour. Our love for our neighbour flows out of our love for God. I gave this illustration a few weeks ago about what happens if my son, I've got a six-year-old son, if he lies in our household, if he tells me something that's obviously a lie and I know it's a lie and I confront him with him, what do I say to him? Do I just say, don't lie to me? No, I say, look, don't lie to me because we don't lie to one another in our house. And the reason we don't lie to one another in our house is because God hasn't lied to us. It's understanding our relationship with our God, our Father in heaven, that then begins to dictate and to shape the understanding of our relationships one to another. We speak truth because God speaks truth. And then we look at another commandment about not committing adultery, and we see that at the heart of that is a call to faithfulness. That actually in the marriage vows we make promises to one another. And so as human beings, we in our promises should honour our word. And so again, in my house, I want to say, look, when we make promises to one another, we keep our promises. Why? Because God is the promise-making, promise-keeping God. Once we've learnt to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, so we can begin to work out what that's going to look like in our relationships with one another. Commands 1, 2, 3, 4 have to come first before we can unpack 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's the way they're designed to work. But what's interesting is where God starts at the human level. Are you surprised that the first commandment in terms of how we're to relate to one another is honour your father and mother? Is that where you would start? To have a society that functions well? To have a church community that is living as God's redeemed people? Wouldn't you want to start with the biggies? Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not lie. And yet God doesn't start there. He starts by saying, honour your father and mother. See, every society that rejects the authority of parents over their children begins to unravel. That's what we've been debating about the riots, haven't we, in this last year? Families without fathers. And the consequence, as we see it, in our society, in our world. Exodus chapter 20, then, and verse 12, honour your father and mother is where God wants to start. Philip Ryken said, in telling us how to treat one another, God starts with our families. Loving our neighbor starts at home. Yeah? Loving our neighbor starts at home. It had never occurred to me, I think, before preparing this sermon, to question why God orders the commandments in the way that he does. But the more I've thought about it, the more I've thought, no, this needs to be at the top of the list of how we love one another. God says it starts in the home. And that means, sadly, all you need to do to destroy a nation is to destroy the family. That's what we've been seeing, isn't it? Well, let me say a couple of things right at the start as we unpack this commandment. For some of us here, honor your father and mother is a really tough statement. For some, it's really tough because we no longer have parents who are alive. It can make a sermon like this difficult to listen to because we no longer have parents with us. Maybe we start to think this isn't a sermon for us, therefore, tonight. But I think as long as we, the children, are alive, the commandment stands. Our obligation is to honor the memory of our parents whilst we're alive. We're to remember their instruction. We're to remember their example, their words. We're to honor their reputation in the world. And of course, we're to refuse to speak ill of them after they are gone. So some of us need to understand this command is still for us, even if our parents are sadly no longer with us. Some of us are here will struggle with this command because we have dysfunctional relationships with our parents. And that makes this whole topic a very painful one. Maybe we feel that, frankly, our parents don't deserve our respect. Maybe we feel that they've disappointed us. Maybe we know we've been abandoned by one parent or more. Maybe we feel they've betrayed us and broken promises to us and caused us a great deal of pain. Well, look, in this commandment, God is not asking you to ignore what has happened. He's not saying pretend it isn't so. The commandment to honor your parents is not a commandment to accept or approve of all of their behavior. It is not. Where they have sinned against us and been wrong, we are ready to recognize that fact. But as we look into this commandment tonight, I hope even those of us who've experienced great pain and sadness as a consequence of the way in which we've been treated by our parents, that we can look to see how this commandment has been fulfilled for us in Jesus, and that we will find some healing here tonight. So can I ask you to stick with us if this is tough for you, for either of those two reasons? And can I say, if you want to talk with someone at the end, there will be a few people around here at the front, both men and women in leadership here at the church, who are happy to come and talk with you if you'd like to just follow some of these things up. But look, the Bible offers you a great promise. Even if you have been hurt, betrayed, abandoned by your human parents, Psalm 27 verse 10 says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. So we looked a little bit about what the fifth commandment is. Now let me just ask then, why the fifth commandment? Why is it here at all? The fifth commandment is here because God is the God who has given us our parents. The Bible says that marriage is God's design and God's gift for human beings, and children are God's gifts within marriage. So the fifth commandment is a call to recognize the gift that God has given to you in giving you parents. We're to love them, respect them, and esteem them, because we love and respect and esteem the God, our Father in heaven, who has given those parents to us for our good. And how we as Christians behave towards our parents is actually an aspect of our witness to God. We show that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind in how we relate to our family. Just as a Christian marriage is designed in some sense to tell us all about God and his relationship with his people, because God says human marriage is just a pointer to the relationship God has with his people for all eternity, so our relationship with our parents is itself a pointer to the fact that God says he is our Father. And so we honor them because we seek to honor him. When we honor our parents, we're saying how great is our God. Do you see these commandments following on from the first four? Our faithfulness to one another in families is therefore a reflection of God's faithfulness to us in including and adopting us into his family. And I think that helps us when we struggle naturally to want to honor our parents, because as Christians, we have a greater purpose in mind. To say, I want to bring God glory, even if it's costly and painful for me to honor my parents. Kevin DeYoung has gone so far as to say, honoring our parents is not an option reserved just for those who actually like mum and dad. It's got a strong statement, isn't it? It's not just for those who like mum and dad. All of us as Christians, for the sake of God, our Father in heaven, need to learn to honor parents who maybe we find it difficult to like or difficult to love. So as Christians, we have reasons to respect them that flow out of our relationship with him. And that means even if our parents aren't Christians, even if our parents mock us for our faith or are contemptuous about what we believe, we can honor them because we recognize God, our Father, in heaven. We respect them because we respect him. Now, if you're a child of Christian parents, then I guess there's double reason, isn't there, to honor your parents. Because in a Christian home, God has given you parents not just to care for you and to clothe you and to feed you, to provide for you and to discipline you, but God has given you parents to love you and to lead you to faith in Jesus Christ. That's the role of Christian parents, to love you for Jesus' sake and to lead you to Jesus. Every night, my wife and I pray for our two children. And we pray that God will keep them safe. We pray that they'll overlook our failings. We pray that we'll be able to provide for them. But we pray more than anything else that they'll come to know Jesus. Because we want to be Christian parents to them and give them double reason to honor us, not just for the sake of their Father in heaven or for the things that we've provided for them on earth, but that we've loved them enough to seek to lead them to Jesus. So when we're children of Christian parents, to rebel against them is to do a double dishonor to God, isn't it? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1 says, "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother." So that's why we keep the fifth commandment. Well, how then? What does it mean for us as adults to keep the fifth commandment? I want to say, firstly, this is not a commandment just for teenagers, although we maybe think it has a lot to say today. Here's what one observer noticed. Listen to these words. He said, "Youth today love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for truth, no respect for older people, talk nonsense when they should work, they contradict their parents, they talk too much in company, guzzle their food, put their legs on the table and tyrannize their elders." That was Socrates, who lived between 469 BC and 399 BC. See, it's kind of always been the same, hasn't it? And yet, we are to honor our parents. I guess it means it's easy for us to accept the message of our culture, that actually the goal of growing up is autonomy from our parents, by which we mean that we become what Al Mohler describes, intentional orphans. We kind of just cut ourselves off from home and abandon our parents because we've got our lives that we want to get on with living now. Thank you very much. Yeah, because a sense in which we can't wait to grow up, we can't wait to leave home, to be free of our parents' control, to cut them out of our lives. Well, not entirely, because there is money after all, and we do need money, so we will ring them from time to time for money. And we will go home if we're students at the end of university term time. Students will return home in the next few days and weeks and probably say hello to the fridge before they say hello to their parents. But we are to honour our parents from the beginning of life to the end of life, well into old age, to respect them and to honour them. Now, honouring our parents doesn't mean doing everything that they tell us to do. In Ephesians chapter 6, it does say that children are to obey their parents. And so we should, whilst we're under their supervision and under their authority, living in their home. But as Christians, we're not to do everything that they tell us to do. We have a Father in heaven, don't we? We have a higher calling. At times, to obey God might mean disobeying our parents. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, the apostles say we must obey God rather than men. But we shouldn't rush to do it, should we? It should only be as a last resort, because we have to choose between either obeying God or obeying men. Arguably the greatest Christian leader of the 20th century was John Stott. And at the university that he was a student, there was a large Christian union. But his father, who was not a believer, said to him before he went to university, he said, "I don't want you to join the Christian Union." And he decided as a matter of principle that he could both honour his Father in heaven and honour his Father on earth by attending the Christian Union but never joining it. So he never exercised any leadership. One of the greatest leaders of the 20th century was never in leadership of that Christian Union. He merely attended because he wanted to honour his dad. So how do we keep the fifth commandment? Well, look, here are three principles, just I think, that help us. Firstly, we need to honour them by making them a priority. Not cutting them out of our lives, but pushing them more to the centre. They deserve a place of precedence, don't they? A priority in our lives. That's what it means to recognise them and to honour them. Secondly, I think it means celebrate where we can all that they've done for us. Failing to say thank you to our parents is a way of dishonouring them, isn't it? So push them more towards the centre. Find the reasons that you have to thank God for them, whether they be Christian or not. And then thirdly, care and provide for them into old age. Now, I think that works itself out in a whole host of ways. I've got a sheet that's going to be on that table as you make your way out of this hall, with 20 practical suggestions as to what that might mean for you. It's going to be different for everyone. But let me just give you a few from that 20, and then you can read the rest for yourself later on. Visit often. For us as a family now with children, that requires more planning, more organisation, and more thought. But visit often as we can. Phone home. One guy said this to me. He said, "I phone both of my divorced parents at least 3 times a week during my walk home from work. It's because I know that communication and keeping in touch is important to them and makes them feel valued. This doesn't come naturally to me, difficult relationships with my parents sometimes, but I continue because honouring is important." He rings them 3 times a week, divorced parents, on his way home from work. Continue to seek out and listen well to their advice. Don't just think because you've left home they've got nothing more to say to you or nothing more to offer you. But seek their advice and listen to it when they offer it to you. Mark Twain once said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished by how much he'd learned in 7 years. I want to say, perhaps the older we get, the more that respect should grow. Someone else said to me, So the beautiful thing about growing older is that my mum and stepdad have become my friends. It's lovely, isn't it? Growing older, as I mature more as an adult, I see more and more how much there is in them to value. I guess if we're to honour our fathers and mothers, it means we won't talk negatively about them behind their backs to our student housemates. And instead, we'll choose to speak positively about them as a Christian witness when we best can. I guess it means if we're going to honour them, we'll pray for them. And if they're Christians, we'll ask them what we could be praying for them. Maybe you could ask your non-Christian parents what you could be praying for them. I guess if we want to honour our parents, we'll tell them how great Jesus is. And if they're Christians, nothing more will thrill their hearts for you to ring them up and say, I just want to tell you how great Jesus is. I know you know it, but I want you to know that I know it. Ring them, tell them, it will make their day. And of course, if they're not Christians, you'll want to tell them how great Jesus is too. Well, look, 20 examples on the sheet on your way out. Do look at them. Kevin DeYoung again, he said, ask yourself, would we be happy if our young children treated us like we now grown treat our parents? That's a great question, isn't it? What would we want from our children? How would we look and ask for them to honour us? And are we honouring our parents in the same way? Well, why should I keep the commandment? Well, look, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and you'll see that it is the first commandment, Paul says, with a promise. Did you notice that? Maybe it struck you as a little odd and you weren't quite sure what Paul was saying. Verse 6 and chapter 6 and verse 1, page 1177, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Look, parents have a responsibility, don't they, to pass on the faith. And Christian children, as they learn to honour Christian parents, are therefore much more likely to listen to them about Jesus. So Paul is saying to Christian children, look, honour your parents because there's something for you in this. As you learn to respect authority, to listen to authority, to submit to authority, that's going to help you learn to respect Jesus' authority, to listen to his authority, to live under his authority. If you're someone who kicks against everyone and says, no, it's my life, I decide, I'm in control. And if you say that to your earthly parents, well, chances are you're going to say that to God too, aren't you? But when you learn, no, authority is good, and there's a promise, it might go well with me. The more I recognize the authority of my parents, the more ready I am to listen to God, my Father in heaven. So look, if you're a parent here this evening, will you help your children to keep this commandment? Do you notice right alongside the command for children to obey parents in the Lord is a command here in Ephesians for parents and fathers in particular, verse 4, not to exasperate their children. Did you see that? What that means is parents and dads in particular, you have an opportunity, a responsibility, an obligation to help your children to want to love Jesus because they respect you as their father. Don't exasperate your children. Don't make it harder for them to be a Christian because of your attitude, your behavior, your example. Make it an easy decision for them. So parents, if you want your children to be blessed, do all you can to merit their respect so they'll listen to you more about Jesus. So don't neglect your role as a father in the household. Discipline your children, even as you love them. Give your children every reason to respect you by making time for your kids. Getting back from work so that you can be there. Don't think it's enough to buy them stuff. Be there for them. Give them stuff that money can't buy. Your time, your priority. And parents, if children are to listen to you, give them the most important thing to listen to. Teach them the Word of God. Read the Bible regularly with your children. So make it a joy. Don't exasperate them. Because if they can honor you, they're a step closer into honoring Jesus, aren't they? Keeping the fifth commandment, honoring all authority. That's our next point. There's a lot here, isn't there, in six words in the Bible. It's like that, the Bible. You might remember a few weeks ago that we discussed something called the rule of categories. Don't worry if you weren't. The rule of categories basically means that the Ten Commandments don't seem to say everything about every aspect of life. But once you understand that each commandment often functions as a kind of as a header with a whole subset of categories underneath, you begin to see that actually they speak to us about all authority, not just some authority. So here's how one 16th century theologian summarized the fifth commandments coming up on the screen. He said this: what does God require in the fifth commandments? This is what he said: that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. So in other words, honor your father and mother is like a category heading. And underneath that, there are all the authorities that God calls upon you to honor. It starts in the home, it starts with your parents, but they're not the only authorities that God's word tells you to honor. So we don't have time to look at these tonight. You'll look at them a little bit in home groups, but it's respect for anyone that God has placed in authority over you that you're to obey, that this commandment is addressing. So 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13 tells us, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. Show proper respect to everyone. So it's going to begin in the home with the way you treat your mom and your dad, but it's going to extend beyond that. It's going to include political authorities. We're to pray for those in government. We're to submit ourselves, Romans 13, to the civil authorities amongst us. We're to honor our bosses at work. That's what Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 5 to 18 tell us to do, not just when our bosses' eyes are upon us, but when they're not too. We were to recognize authority and submit to it as Christians. Learn a little bit more about that in New Street after tea and coffee. We're to honor our church leaders. So Hebrews 13 and verse 17 says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, talking about within the church, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. You see, your leaders in your church are your spiritual fathers. The elders of the church are your spiritual fathers. Obey your father in the home, obey your spiritual fathers in the church. So those are the four authorities that Scripture calls upon you to honor. Your parents, political authorities, your work bosses, and your spiritual leaders in the church. And it's all covered under this one heading. So how are you doing? Do you even know that God, as your Father in heaven, calls upon you to recognize the authorities he's put over you? Because as you honor them, God says, you yourself will be blessed. Christians are grateful to God for authorities. And we know that in a sinful world, the world would be a much tougher place if those authorities were not there. Finally, the perfect child, how Jesus fulfills the fifth commandment. As we finish, and we really are nearly finished, it might be that you think that in this commandment, God is asking the impossible of you. Honor your father and mother. I can see what you're saying. I can see why God is saying it. But you don't know my parents, you don't know my situation, you don't know how difficult that would be, you don't know how I've tried and failed so many times in the past to do that. Well, look, God always enables what he commands. God never gives you a command that by his Spirit he can't begin to see you obey. And let me just tell you two things about how God enables you to obey your father and your mother, and to honor them. Firstly, look to Jesus. See, it was no easy thing for Jesus to honor his human parents. At times, his mother and his brothers came to visit him to take him back home because they thought that he was mad. And yet he honored them, even as they didn't understand his purpose, his mission, his calling. It was no easy thing for Jesus to obey his heavenly Father. He had cried out, didn't he, in Gethsemane, "Not my will, but yours be done." It was a painful thing for Jesus to be willing to go to the cross because he wanted to obey and honor his Father in heaven. So it will cost you at times to honor your earthly parents. But it won't cost you as much as it cost Jesus to honor both his parents here on earth and his Father in heaven. So look to Jesus, your high priest in heaven, who is interceding for you, supplying strength for you. Go to him and say, "Help me to do what you did." Jesus can only be your perfect Savior because he was the perfect Son, who always lived to honor his Father. He couldn't have saved you unless he'd honored his Father. He honored his Father for you. So will you honor your Father for him? Finally, look to your Father in heaven. Look to Jesus, but look also to your Father in heaven. Whatever your experience of human parenting, your heavenly Father knows you and loves you. And you look to him. Your duty to your earthly parents is something that can be fulfilled as you ask your heavenly Father to enable you to do it for his sake, in his name, and for his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for showing us the wisdom of your ways and the rightness of your word this evening. And yet we confess that at times we don't find it easy to honor our parents. But we ask and pray where we have many things to thank you for that we see in them, that we would do so with gladness and joy, that we would honor them because we thank you for them. And where we struggle and where we need your strength, would we look to Jesus that we might learn what it is to obey a Father, and that we might look to you and ask you for your strength to enable what we could never do on our own. Amen.